you talk a little bit about Tyson and DeVito and how they've enabled those guys to do what they do?
Sure. I think, as we've said a lot of times here, you know, the cumulative effect of a guy making a sack or a guy making an interception or whatever, there's usually a lot of people involved in that. Certainly you got individual skill and talent that plays into it, but there's a lot of players involved. And certainly I think Tyson, Jackson, and Mike DeVito have been, really outstanding players so far through these first seven games. And, they're, I think like most players that line up between those tackles, you don't know a lot about them sometimes, but they're doing, they're doing those hard jobs play after play after play, and they've done it at a highly consistent basis, which is what allows us to play. So they're doing a great job in there, and I think, if you talk to the other players and the linebackers on running plays, just like last week, tough zone scheme, that demands a lot. Those guys did a tremendous job enabling the linebackers and the safeties to clean up the running game for Houston. So, yeah, we're really pleased with them, and I think certainly within the locker room, those guys are highly respected for the way they play and practice, et cetera.
When you say hard job, what's the hard job?
Well, hard job to sit in there and, bang heads, and nobody knows what you're doing, And, everybody'd like to be the guy that got the sack or got the interception or whatever. But like I say, somebody's got to do these other jobs, and, they're valuable, believe me, And I know Tom always says, before, if you don't want to be able to rush the passer, you got to be able to stop the run. Mm-hmm. And that's true, because if you can't stop the run, then it's hard to go rush the passer. So, that's the first order of business every week, is take care of that. And then, let's see if we can get it down to this one dimensional thing. But, I think those guys are tough physically, tough mentally. They have great awareness. These two guys are two of the sharpest guys you're going to come across as far as knowing formations and the whole deal. And they just do a tremendous job in there.
Thank you,
Bob. I was looking at some of your pass rush stats. You guys are getting a lot of your sacks and a lot of your pressure in the fourth quarter, as you know. But you guys are blitzing a lot less in the fourth quarter than you are in the first three quarters. How do you explain that? I mean, is it just a factor of you guys are protecting a lead? You know the other guys have to throw.
I don't know if last week, that might not have been a completely true statement, because we got two or three off in the fourth quarter off pressures. But I think there's a lot of factors in there, and one of the things that we try not to be one-dimensional in the sense that we're always pressuring, we're always covering. We try to adapt to the situation. We try to keep the offense off balance. You kind of like to, two categories. You like to stay out of the never and always. You never do this or you always do this. And if you do that, you make the offense account for everything. And same as us on defense, when they make us do that, we have to count for everything. And that thins you out to some degree. Obviously, any defensive player will tell you that when you're ahead and, the game's in balance and you know what it is, it's a lot easier to play, again, you're only defending one part of the offense. So that's an advantage to us. And, the same thing with the sacks. I mean, the sacks happen for – some guys, chewing up blockers, so a guy can get free. Sometimes it's outstanding coverage, that contributes. Sometimes it's both of those things. So sometimes as a player, and one of the things that you appreciate about Tomba, and Justin is that I always hear him make the point that, hey, a lot of things happen to create those situations. They also are generating those rushes on their own too. I mean, they're individually, they're working hard at their technique and skills, and Gary Gibbs done a great job, and Tommy Brazier's done a great job working with those guys daily to help get their skill level to where they can beat an individual player. And I think we're just talking with some of the other people here about a lot of things go into that. Those guys do a really good job of studying their opponent, that's a huge part of it, to know what that offensive lineman, guard, or tackle does well, what he's susceptible to, and all that factors in. You know, there's not just one element there that allows you to do these things.
As best you can, Bob, can you speak about the responsibilities in general that Kendrick Lewis has to manage his position?
Well, you know, Kendrick's our safety back there. He does obviously a lot of the calls that have to be made. In conjunction with, we play multiple people back there with him, but he does a great job of directing what we're doing, getting us in the right adjustment if we need an adjustment. Really sharp guy, you know, has a coach's mind back there, and I say that because he can anticipate things that before they happen, and maybe anticipate things. Hey, what if, coach? What are we going to do here? Good question. Let's do this, and that's where I think he's really good. And I attribute a lot of that to, you know, Emmett and Al do a great job with him, and Kendrick does a great job of studying and preparing. I mean, you know, he knows what's going on, and that's a huge advantage, you know, because it's just like the quarterback that can keep everybody on the same page, keep them all on the same line there, and. It usually works out, and the most important thing is that we're all doing the same thing, even if it's not the exact thing we wanted to do. Sometimes you got to make those battlefield decisions and just make them, and that's the one trait he has. He's not afraid to make a decision back there, and as long as you do it, like I tell him, with convictions, we're going to be fine. We'll live through anything as long as, hey, you say, bam, we're doing this, and we're going to follow you to the end of the line.
Have you typically put this much trust in a guy who plays that position in your defenses?
Well, I think you almost have to, you know, if you want to be successful, because otherwise you're going to be out there and you're just going to play, you know, whatever you call, and that's the end of the line. And you know, there's just times within defenses that, based on what they're doing, you'd prefer to be doing this, you know. And that takes a demand, you know. That's a lot of work for these guys. They got to spend a lot of time, you know, learning what we're doing, and still be able to play, you know, with the kind of speed and fury that we would like to. You know, if it's slowing them down, then we as coaches, we got to reevaluate. Say, you know, we don't want to slow anybody down. We know that for sure. We want to play full throttle and let them enjoy. We got some good football players and. We want them to be able to use their abilities to the best way possible.
To date, you guys have really kept the opposing tight end under wraps. Nobody's mm-hmm. had any kind of big game. But you got one coming in Sunday.
Yes.
That's probably the best you've seen. What's the key? What has been the key and what has to happen Sunday?
Well, I mean, again, it takes a lot of them. You know, we had, you know, Jason Witten there at Dallas, who's a, you know, pretty good hand there at tight end. And, again, sometimes that's predicated, you know, like by other things that happen. Like we're talking about tough jobs. Well, I'm go back to that game. You know, we said Flo had the tough job the way we were set up on defense because he was getting 88 by himself. Okay, that allowed us to do some other things on the tight ends and other receivers. So there's always trade-offs, you know, involved in it. And again, that's one of the I think things we try to do. You know, as we prepare for each game, figure out, you know, who can beat us, and then what can beat us. You know, those are two really important questions for us. And then, you know, you got to have some flexibility, and you know, you can't do the same thing every play out there, or they're eventually going to take advantage of you. So, we try to mix those things up. But certainly, you know, 84 from Cleveland's a handful. He's, I think, a really emerging player in our league, you know, highly skilled, you know, has great ability to accelerate and get into the cuts, and he's an impressive guy, you know.
Traditionally, we view the strong safety as the guy mm-hmm. who ends up covering the tight end most of the time. Is that the case in your defense?
Well, no, we you know, we have a lot of different people. Sometimes that's Eric Berry down low playing like the dime. You know, DJ's does it in some of the defenses. Other times it's, you know, it's one of the safeties. You know, one of the things we try to do is really not have a strong safety, free safety guy. I mean, we're just safeties. And sometimes that changes by defenses, sometimes by game plan. But, you know, you just like no one to be just – that's who that is. You know, we just like them to be out there, and you got to figure out what it is from there rather than saying – excuse me, he's the strong safety. We know he's down, you know. That's probably one thing I think we've done a good job of.
We've seen another quarterback that either hasn't played much or hasn't played much for a different team. What have been the challenges?
Well, I mean, the hardest part is you know, you as a coach, you started back there, on Monday morning early, and you're starting to go forward, and you're looking at all the video, and the players are starting in there probably Monday afternoon, and you get used to seeing a certain guy playing. And this one we had, obviously because they had Hoyer for a while also, but we obviously had started out on Whedon and looking at him and studying him, and then, once you find out there's going to be a change, you go back and you get all the throws, that the other quarterback is going to bring in there. It's just you don't have as many, and you don't have it in the context of who's playing right now. And a lot of times you don't have it in the context of real situations. They're end of preseason games. We have obviously played in the Chicago San Francisco game a year ago as a starting quarterback, so we've looked at that, but that's in a different system. So we don't have as much as you'd like, with these receivers, with this offensive system and that, but that's just the way it is. I mean, we've got to drill down as much as we can and understand his habits and what he likes to do in general, and then what he likes to do when things go bad. That's a big part of playing quarterback in the NFL, and it's a big part of playing defense is understanding what's going to happen when this thing starts to break down, what's his natural reaction. So, it's not like you really like it, but it is the way it is.
You're getting used to this every week, ad libbing a new quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's good and bad in it, but on these days it feels like you're behind because you don't have as much information as you'd like. But be truthful, you guys know the system that they're running doesn't change dramatically. It gets tilted a little bit to certain plays that maybe this quarterback does better than the other quarterback. And we don't know what those are. I mean, obviously, so we just have to kind of play it by ear and see what's going to happen and unfold on game day.
Is the process simpler than it was maybe last week just because this is a veteran who's...
And the players have played against him, so they know Jason. So they've been on the field with him. They know... Hey, they know how fast the ball comes out. They know the velocity of the ball, all those things. Where last week we really didn't know. I don't think hardly anybody here had played, had seen the Keenum before. And so they're looking at film like us for the very first time. So until you get used to a guy like that and, how quick he releases the ball and what he can do, it makes it a little more challenging. But like our guys, they've played against him. Most of our coaches have coached at least a game against him. So we our reference point is you're exactly right, is a lot better and a lot easier in that regard.
Bob, you've mentioned Emmett, you mentioned Tommy, how has this staff contributed to this defensive success you've had?
Well, it's all of it, really. I mean, because these are the guys that like I say, they drill down. They're with the players, in the meetings where we're getting it all coached up, and we've got a really, I think an outstanding staff. Emmett, obviously he's got a reputation of his own, both as a player and a coach. He's an outstanding coach. Gary Gibbs got a great reputation in our business, does a great job of coaching, and then Tommy Brazier has been there. These are all veteran guys, and the one thing they do is, from my perspective, is they dig. They prepare, they get the things, and, when we make a plan, it's a collective plan. I mean, it's not me just saying, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to sit in that room and we'll go through each guy's, what his responsibility is in, defining the opponent, and then, the suggestions they have, and then we come up with the plan based on that. And the other part that these guys, and, I got to, Al Harris is in there, and Mark DeLeon and Britt Reed, all these guys contribute. It's like most things in life. You see a finished product out there and you say, think this, well, there's a lot of things to go into. But where these guys do a great job, I mean, I'm just telling you, a great job, is game day, mm-hmm. I heard Belichick say not too long ago, they're asking about halftime adjustments. He said, if you're waiting to halftime to get your adjustments, it's over. You got 12 minutes. You got about six by the time you get in there, everybody gets taken care of and go. So those adjustments have to be ongoing during the game, and you need input and thought process from a lot of people. And I take that. These guys are very good at what they do. They got great vision and concentration on the sideline, and they've done a tremendous job. So they deserve every bit as much credit as anybody else along the way, you know, and it's a collective effort.